gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and he saith unto them, go your way into the village that is over against you. And straightway as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon no man ever yet sat. Loose him and bring him unto me. It is written, and they went away and found a colt tied at the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. It is written, and they bring the colt unto Jesus and cast on him their garments, and he sat upon him. Multitude that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, Who is this? Then the multitude said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Come, friends, sing for the faith that's so dear to me. Revealed through God's Son in Galilee. He brought peace on earth and goodwill to the sons of men. Go tell it to the world, her King reigns again. Crucified, thus he suffered and bled for me. Death in the grave won sin's victory. Then the sky drew dark, and the temple veil rent in twain. Rocks rent, and angels came, for he lived again. At his feet, on old Olivet's hill, they say, cloud chariots halted, took Christ away. Then the angels came, and a wandering disciple said, He'll come, and earth and sea shall yield up, they're dead. Just a prayer away. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, the triumphal entries. There are two triumphal entries mentioned in the New Testament. The first is in all four of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the second in Revelation chapter 19. So here's the first one. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Before the week was over, the same crowd would be crying, crucify him, crucify him. They wanted a king, but not the kind of a king Jesus wanted to be. Pilate finally understood what the crowd had already found out. When he said in John 18, verse 37, Art thou a king then? Jesus said unto him, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Then he said, To this end have I come into the world. And for this cause was I born. So when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he knew he was riding into a crucifixion. But Jesus rode on. He knew before the week was over he would be spit upon. But Jesus rode on. He knew before the week was over they would crown him with a crown of thorns. But Jesus rode on. He knew before the week was over he would be scourged until his back looked like raw meat. But Jesus rode on. He knew before the week was over nails would be driven through his hands and feet and a spear pierced his side. But Jesus rode on. We can rejoice that Jesus rode on for this battle at the cross was the greatest battle ever fought on this planet, because it had the greatest victory, the victory over the grave. Hebrews 2, verse 9 speaks of the scope of that victory. But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death once for every man. Jesus died for us, not to give us a few more years of life in this world beyond 70 years, but life in glory for an endless eternity. The triumphal ride of Jesus began on Sunday and ended on the next Sunday at the empty tomb, when the voice of the angel proclaimed, "He is not here, for he is risen, even as he said." Now this ride began when Jesus sent two of his disciples and said, "Go into the village that is over against you. And as you enter, you shall find a colt tied in a place where two ways meet. Loose him and bring him unto me." As soon as they entered the village, they found the colt exactly where Jesus said, and they loosed the colt. Jesus had told the disciples, "If the owner objects, tell him, 'The Lord hath need of him,' and straightway he will send him, and then I will send him back again." The Lord needs him. The owner may have wondered, "Why does the Lord need my colt?" There must have been a reason for it. The same reason that I heard one time many years ago, as the preacher of the church was shaking hands with the people at the close of the service, and called out to me over the heads of the people as I passed by from the side of the church building. He said, "What are you going to do with your life?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "The Lord needs you." That was news to me, and I wondered, why would he need me? The reason he needed me was the same reason he needed the colt. The Apostle John said of Jesus in John 2:25, "He himself knew what was in man." I did not know what was in the colt, and I did not know what was in me, but Jesus did. The Lord needs you. There's something else about that colt that needs attention. When we learn that they found the colt at a place where two ways met, it was a crossroads, a fork in the road. Many times we come to a fork in the road, and the way we choose can have bearing on the rest of our lives. It may be in the choice of friends, the choice in marriage, many other things, for the better or worse. But the most important decision you can make in life is at the crossroads of your decision of what you will do about Jesus. I knew a man years ago that became a Christian and really went out all for the Lord. He spoke of the Lord in no uncertain terms to everybody. He was a rough-talking kind of a fellow, and one man asked him one day, "Jack, where is this hell you're always telling me about?" Jack told him, "You have asked me a straight question, and I will give you a straight answer. If you want to know the location of hell, you just keep on going the way you're going, and you can't miss it." Another thing about the colt is the fact that the two apostles found the colt exactly where Jesus said he would be. as ye enter into the city. 1 Kings 8:56 says, There hath not failed one word of all his good promises. Again in Ezekiel 12:25, For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It will work every time. And then one more thing about that colt was, why would Jesus feel free about asking for someone's colt? He felt free to ask for the colt because the colt really belonged to him anyway. The scripture speaks of divine ownership. It is said in Psalms 50, verse 10, For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Then the prophet said in Haggai 2nd chapter, verse 8, The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Everything we have is ours on loan from God. And Jesus has a right to ask for what belongs to him. In 1 Kings 17, the story of a poor widow in a time of drought had just enough meal in a barrel and a little oil in a jug. She was gathering a few sticks for a fire so she and her son might eat one last meal and die. Elijah the prophet said, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first. For thus saith the Lord, The barrel of meal shall not waste, nor the cruse of oil fail, unto the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, and the barrel of meal wasted not, nor the cruse of oil failed not, as the Lord had said, until the drought was over. The message of God to us is always, Make me a little cake first. Jesus had borrowed the colt. Actually, Jesus borrowed a lot of things. According to the famous writer Anonymous, they borrowed a bed to lay his head when Christ the Lord came down. They borrowed the ass in the mountain pass when he rode into town. But the crown that he wore and the cross that he bore were his own. The cross was his own. He borrowed the bread with which he fed on the grassy mountainside. He borrowed the dish of broken fish with which he satisfied. But the crown that he wore and the cross that he bore were his own. The cross was his own. He borrowed the ship in which to sit as he taught the multitude. He borrowed a nest in which to rest. He had never a home so crude. But the cross that he bore and the crown that he wore were his own. The cross was his own. They borrowed a room for him, a tomb, the Passover meal to eat. They borrowed a cave for him, a grave. They borrowed a winding sheet. But the crown that he wore and the cross that he bore was his own. The cross was his own. So Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem, and wonder of wonders, when the multitude heard the shouts of praise, some said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus said, If these hold their peace, the stones would cry out. And it was true. The stones did cry out. That great stone that weighed several hundred pounds was dropped into a slot and sealed with the seal of Tiberius Caesar, and then after 3 days rolled back by an angel and has been crying out for the last 2,000 years, Christ is arisen from the dead. The tombstones cry out as you pass the cemetery, as in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die. The stones of the temple cried out in 70 A.D., that Jesus predicted in Matthew 24. There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As a testimony of the rejection of the Son of God, in the crowd that day there were some who asked a strange question. Who is this? These were the ones mentioned in John 1:11. He came unto his own, and they were his own received him not. Ask that question of Moses, and he would say, He is the seed of the woman that bruises the head of the serpent, and the serpent that bruised his heel. Ask John the Baptist, and he would say, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Ask Thomas, after the resurrection, Who is this? And he would say, My Lord and my God. Ask God, Who is this? And he would declare, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And now the second triumphal entry in Revelation 19 begins when John tells us, I saw the heaven opened. Ladies and gentlemen, as far as the Christian is concerned, any time the heaven is opened, it is wonderful news. The heaven was opened in Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and lo, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And will not God the Father be well pleased for the Christian also, when we obey his command in Christian baptism and open the heavens for us? The heavens were opened again in Acts, the 7th chapter, just before Stephen was stoned. He said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. It is a great thought that the Christian at death may also be welcomed by the Lord. After all, Paul did say in 2 Corinthians, a 5th chapter, To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The heavens were opened again in Acts 10, the 9th chapter, 9th verse, 16th chapter. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour, and he became hungry and desired to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he beholdeth the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending as it were a great sheet, let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things, and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice came unto him a second time, What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. Later on, Peter found out the meaning of the message. The gospel was to be preached to all men of whatever race. The heavens were opened to Peter when he went up on the housetop to pray, and his prayer was answered. The answer may not be exactly what Peter may have been praying for, but when we accept God's answer to prayer, the heavens will always be opened unto us. Not my will, but thine be done. So John saw the heavens opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns. He was arrayed in a garment dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, and on his garment and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because he was king in the cradle. The wise men said, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? He was king in his trial before Pilate. The soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! He was king on the cross when Pilate wrote a sign and put it on the cross, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek, This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This was the real triumphal entry. No more ride on the donkey, but on a white horse, wearing many crowns. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What a triumphal entry. John tells us in Revelation how it will be. The first chapter. Behold, he comes with the clouds, that every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him. Paul again tells us of the descent of Jesus at the second coming in 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, that are left unto his coming, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are left shall together with them be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And then in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, Paul tells of the descent of Jesus at the second coming in relation to both saved and lost. It is a righteous thing with God to recompense them that afflict you. And to you who are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that have believed. And then in Revelation, the 11th chapter, the 12th verse, John gives us further insight on the descent of the Lord at his second coming, when he says, And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they went up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The heavens were opened unto them, even as the unsaved saw them go up. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He will come, perhaps at morning, when to simply live is sweet, and the arm is strong, unwearied by the noontime toil and heat. When the undimmed eye looks upward on the shining heights of life, and the eager heart is beating, yearning for some noble strife. He will come, perhaps, at evening. Gray and somber is the sky. Clouds around the sunset gather. Full and dark the shadows lie. And we long for rest and slumber, and some tender thoughts of home fill the heart with vague, sad yearning. Then perhaps the Lord will come, if he only finds me waiting in the morning's early light, or the fierce and fiery noontide, or the coming of the night. If he only finds me waiting, listening for his sudden call, then his coming, when I think not, will be the sweetest hope of all. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at this same time, tell somebody somehow in some way that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer away.